Okay, vamping. I guess I'll just take a little sip of this Nixie.
You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Good news, everyone.
I'm PD Pablo.
And I'm PDC.
Jeez, Sierra. Man, PD. No, Sierra.
PD Sierra.
PD Pablo. Sierra featuring PD Pablo.
Oh, well, my name is Sierra for all you fly fellas. Something, something, something acapella.
Yes. And remember how there was that rumor that she was a hermaphrodite?
Okay, why is it literally like the rumor that any star, female star who becomes popular and is like just wildly attractive?
She literally, all she did wrong is have pretty nice biceps. And then people were like, she's a man.
Because
in the early 2000s, we could not handle a strong woman.
Well, that is very true.
Like, literally, that was like a joke. Was like a woman with muscles. It's like the same thing as like the way gay jokes used to be.
Madonna's golem arms.
Mm-hmm.
The only strong woman the 2000s had was Laura Bush.
Well, she
is literally
a golem.
Holding this country up. She was holding this country up with her golem
fell
body.
Fell into the trap of the One Ring, and she lived in a cave, only eating fish. Speaking of fish.
Yes.
Daniel, you just told me a very fun by the way, guys, welcome to the podcast. Did you like that segue that I interrupted myself with?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
welcome
mm-hmm.
to the World of Tomorrow, Futurama-centric podcast where we are likers, lovers, and lickers of the Futurama, the TV show. I'm Willie.
I'm Daniel, and we always say we're going to workshop that title, and we never do. Lovers, well, lickers, and lickers.
There's
another word for it.
It's not a monogram.
No, it's not. Is it a sonogram?
My monogram, it's a sonogram.
Where's your boob?
And I can see the baby's heartbeat. No, that's a mammogram.
Wait, is it a golden idiot. Gram?
It's an Alexander gram.
Oh, it's a mammogram. Wait, if your mother's mother gets one, is it called a grammogram?
Stupid.
Hey, no, grandma
if you're from the South
survivor,
and grandma gets it, it's called a meemogram.
Ew. Hate times 10. Hate times a million, actually. Meemaw. The people in Indiana.
I love the idea of going, you're at a restaurant, and they're like, how are you liking it, sir? And you're like, love times 10. Hate times 10.
Dude, just mark my words. Gen Z is going to be saying it. Give it 2 months. Like, dude, my Christmas gift was bad times 10.
Yeah, because all good Gen Z stuff started with a millennial on their podcast.
That's exactly fucking right. The Gen Z are the succubi just trying to enjoy and what's the word I'm looking
for?
Appropriate millennial culture.
Gen Z does love to appropriate our culture.
Yeah.
And we love to.
guess who couldn't afford houses before Gen Z? You're looking at them.
Us. It's us. It all started with us.
Also, Gen Z, you're like barely into your careers. We couldn't afford
our
rent.
Parents fucked up the America, not your Gen X parents.
Yeah,
Gen
exactly.
Z.
Oh, yeah, they are Gen Xers. Ew, and my little nephews are Gen Alpha now.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, and there's
Yeah,
isn't that fucking weird? Gen fucking Alpha.
There should be no more generations.
We are.
The world must end.
We are for full impotence of all women and men. So no more children. Wait, your mic is really crispifying my ears. What is it in Spanish? Oh, Joe's eyes. It's better. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
It's because I don't have any good cables in this house.
I
Can a fella get a good cable?
You know what?
A good XLR
cable. The
cable.
It's better with a dish. Remember those commercials?
Oh, right, because I forgot you plug yours into your computer with a plate now. Your microphone.
I've got to check my signals here. Are we? Can you hear?
Yeah, no, Petey, you just got to point the dish in the right direction.
That's right. When the wind blows, the dish goes down. We're done with the dish. There was like a Brooklyn Man for Comcast who apparently was like a nationally syndicated commercial because it came out in Indiana. And he was like, the wind blows, this goes down. We're done with this.
Because
dish.
Everybody knows about high-speed winds.
I can't watch Tony Soprano. I can't watch Emerald Lagasse.
I lose my HBO. I lose my stars.
My stars.
Stars.
Starfield. Ever watching our omnipotent ruler?
Starfield, the infamous brother of Garfield, who is a celestial god, and we all pray and bow down to Starfield.
To Starfield, power be his name. You're still crystallifying.
Is it still bad, Petey?
It is hard. My ears.
Oh my god.
Let's just say there is a
give me one second.
I'll vamp.
3, 2, 1. Vamp. Edit. I'm gonna put that in the clip.
Edit in.
Let's just say. Clip. Let's just say that I'm having a rough time with these cables, and by cables I mean XLR cables. Now, if there are any people who want to sponsor us by sending me some free XLR cables that are higher quality than the dinky donkey ones that I have right now,
I would love that. I love it. Aww.
Well, they are dinky donkey. So
that was
anyway,
my nickname.
Thank you for bearing with
us.
In
the locker room in high school.
That's right. Anytime people in middle school would see your little peen, they would say, dinky donkey, dinky donkey.
And then when I hit 13.
Look to the left, it's a little wonky.
Okay. And then when I hit 13. Inches, nobody was saying
everybody started saying horse.
It was really thin, so it just looked like cooked spaghetti, maybe bucatini.
Oh, so it was also flaccid. Okay, right.
Yeah.
We're not talking about uncooked spaghetti, we're talking now. Mine was like cooked spaghetti. It actually was more like a lasagna noodle, and if you bent it too far, it would snap.
Oh, my God. That was so vivid. But very apropos for this episode, though, to be honest.
Thank you for taking us back to Futurama. Okay, we'll do good news in a second. Today we are covering season 5, episode 12, Spanish Fry, which is, of course, an episode where Fry gets his schnoz taken off because they thought it was his ding dong.
Correct.
And that is why we were talking about our pasta peens earlier.
It didn't have anything to do with the fact that we just wanted to say something. It was all part of the motif, folks. No,
that wasn't true.
About your lasagna.
I didn't have a very flat, a long, brittle penis in middle school.
Oh, God. It's okay. Everyone grows out of their pasta peens. It's okay. That's why they call it your pasta peen teens.
Yeah, thankfully. Yes. And they do call it that, don't they?
That's what my book said that my parents read to me about puberty.
And it was imported from Italy.
I was gonna say, written by Mario Batali and Emeril Lagasse.
Oh, and it would be written by Mario Batali, who is a workplace diddler.
He's right.
He is indeed a workplace diddler.
I don't know if it was full on diddling. I think it was just grotesquely inappropriate things. I don't know if he was actually like hard diddling.
Okay, so it was. I think we can categorize that as diddling.
I think. I don't know.
I know that originally diddling started with you have to be touching, but right. I think that even if you're just like thinking about diddling,
or like
talking about diddling.
Louis C.K. wouldn't be a diddler because only diddled himself, but he diddled himself in front of people somewhat.
In front of someone without their consent.
Exactly.
And that to me, we can lump that into diddling because when we talk. Exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
But in the original definition prior to me too, it was not diddling because you were touching someone else.
Exactly. It was more of a thing when you would Anyway, we don't need to get into it.
We'll do everything. Why don't we get into a little?
Yeah, look, why don't we do a little thing? It's because it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded, so we're really up with talking about inappropriate things on a microphone.
Yes, the manna from heaven. What is the blood of the gods called? Oh, this is gonna bother me. It's not Sangra.
Elixir.
It's like elixir.
Michael,
like
the strawberry is nectar.
Ichor.
Michael, this Melbatoast is nectar.
Melbatoast? What's that?
Oh, from Stella, you dunce.
Oh, yes, that's right. I knew. Oh, my God.
Where they're eating the picnic and two of the three are in love and they're like, oh, my God, when you're in love, like everything tastes so good. Michael, the strawberry tastes like nectar. And then they're like talking. Melbatoast is like that dry kosher cracker.
Yeah. It's like not even, it's like. Not good as good as
it's not. It's not nectar. That's for sure. Right.
The term I was like,
are you of course talking about ichor?
Ichor.
Is it ichor or is it ichor? I always thought it was ichor.
I always thought it was ichor, but I could be a total idiot. Let's hear it. Oh, ichor, lick my fucking furry farts. Sorry.
Okay, do it again.
Ichor.
Ichor.
Ichor. Oh wait, I was wrong. I heard it, hear it on the time. I was having a stroke.
In my head, I've always pronounced it Ichor.
Interesting. Well, Ichor. I hardly know her.
I hardly know her. All right. Anyway, let's get to a little something that we like to call.
Good news. Oh, lubele, lubele.
You go first.
I'll go first. Well, it was not so long ago that I had a lovely little bro date with a magua. And you came to...
Okay, say normal words because I'm losing.
You can't.
Are you talking about...
Magua.
No, I'm just saying you're using words that... Oh, my guy. Okay. I couldn't tell you were talking about me or like a genuine suitor.
Call me an empty closet because I got no suitors.
Okay.
At the Fair moment. Enough. At the moment, I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. But no, it was so good to finally reunite. I feel like I've been traveling, you've been traveling, going back and forth. So
I know.
Delicious patty melts, which I could have eaten two of, but I restrained myself. So I just put a duck fat fried egg on top of it.
Yep.
It was great. Then
we did walk it off. We had a nice walk.
Casting and everything. It was great. And we're going to do it all again this week.
Oh, we're going to do it all over again this weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, PD, I have to admit, I literally have not edited that episode yet. So we are behind and I just realized that. So apologies.
I'll allow it.
I have to say this. As the podcast upload consistency has fallen, mm-hmm. my mental health has increased.
Oh, God. Well, if now, it's a burden.
I don't know.
We need an intern.
It's more that I just am doing so many other things. We do need an intern. I'm just doing so many other things, and I've like not been putting as much stress on myself about the cast, which is good. But I do need to also be more disciplined about it because I'm like running every day, which is great, and I'm being very disciplined about it. But I should leave a little bit of that for the cast. You know what I'm saying?
I think I know what the problem is here, and I don't mean to armchair you right here, but I do believe.
No, throw an armchair at me.
According to one of the greatest philosophers,
Sharia law.
Also, it's Sharia. I am going to pronounce circles.
I'm talking about
you.
Megan Sharia.
I don't know who that is.
No, I just made her up.
Oh, Shania Twain is what you're trying to say.
Sharia law. Shania law dictates that if your man don't respect you, you leave him in the trash can.
You put a Louisville Slugger in both headlights and you get the hell out. No.
You cut those brake lines
and all four tires. Your fucking problem is that you lack the will of a warrior, according to one of the greatest philosophers.
Oh, of course, of course. I should have known. Master Fdog.
You like Wheel of Oil.
Want to go again? Boom, you lose.
It's like the pettiest dojo leader ever.
100% just a like broken old man. Fnog. Master Fnog. I was called him Emperor Fnog. Oh my gosh, but no, that's good. Don't stress yourself. We can move to bi-squeakly if we need to, whatever is easiest. Whatever.
And I don't want to. I love to do the cast. It's the editing part that is like, it doesn't even take me that long anymore, to be honest. It's just that like, I have to like be mentally there, and I don't want it to feel like a chore, but lately I've been doing a lot of other things that have been very engaging. And while this is very engaging, me talking to you, two hits, Bawa to Ba playing in the background and you hitting the floor. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, what?
Well, I enjoy talking to you.
I'm so lost.
It's like an old thing of like, there's going to be two hits. Me hitting you and you hitting the floor.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah.
The Workaholics did a great version of it where like Adam is trying to be tough and he says something like, there's going to be two hits, and he mentions like Bawa to Ba playing in like Uncle Cracker or whatever is that. Oh, who does that song? Limp Bizkit?
Oh, Bawa to Ba to Bang to Bang Diggy Diggy.
Yeah, that song. You know what I'm talking about.
Limp Bizkit, I think, yeah.
But he basically says there's going to be two hits, like me hitting you and then that song playing in the background.
Limp Bizkit.
Anyway, yeah, I digress.
That was good. It's good.
Anyway, yeah. I like talking. I like doing this. This is fun. But then editing it is like...
It's the worst for my sores.
Can be fun. It is the worst for my sores. But anyway, I've just been bad about scheduling it in. And honestly, sometimes I just forget. So
it's okay.
I have no excuses. Thank you, baby.
There's no responsibility on my end, so I have no fucking leg to stand on.
Yeah, so you're like, just like, give,
Johnson!
You're just like telling me what I want to hear.
I need those MP4s on my desk tomorrow! So that's my good news. Are they still MP4s? I don't think they are they?
Well, I just process the wave and then I turn it into an MP3 because I don't upload the video.
We can't afford MP3s. They're just MPs. It's fine.
MP1.
MP1.
They're M pennies.
I'll have an M halfpenny, please.
And the lowest quality sound file there is. It sounds like when they found those clay pots in Egypt and then they played it on the record and it was like
like when you put wax paper and a rubber band around the end of a toilet paper thing and it's a homemade kazoo.
Right.
Whoever,
like
came
in
up with
Spaceballs,
that
when he's like, and then he puts it down, and he still sounds like that because it's Michael Winslow.
We're having trouble with the radar, sir.
I need to rewatch that movie. It's been a long time.
I know it's
what
so
a good movie.
Oh, a Mel Brooks classic and a classic for all of film. To be fair.
Okay, that actually gives me a good segue for my good news, which is I recently connected with a college friend of mine named Kiko. Shout out to Kiko. Hopefully she listens to this episode.
Hey, Keeks.
Got her turned on to the podcast. When I told her that I did a podcast with my – a Futurama podcast with my friend, she said, point me to the robosexual episode. And I was so pleased that she had an episode in mind.
Right?
We haven't covered that one yet, but we will get there.
I think that one's in the future, but when we get there, Kiko, you're getting a fat shout out, and you might even be the guest on the pod. You might just
you could be the guest. Everybody says
everybody
you can be the
says
guest.
Kiko. Probably the best
now,
guest ever.
the reason I said Mel Brooks movies was a connection is because she recently told me that she was watching Young Frankenstein, which that was directed by Mel Brooks, right?
I think it was a Mel Brooks, but when you paused, like speaking of Mel Brooks movie, reminds me of Kiko because she's dating him.
That is her boyfriend,
her fiance, actually.
Her fiance is 90.
He's like 95.
He is so old now. He is so old now. But right? Bless his soon to be zombie bones.
Soon to be zombie bones. Although who knows? He could pull a
Aunt Soon Dead and Uncle Gonna Bite It.
Also phenomenal. Mel Brooks was indeed the director of Young Frankenstein. You were correct.
Yes. My segue was not for nothing.
Not in Thank vain. You.
But anyway, I was reminiscing about other Mel Brooks films, and Spaceballs is one of them. Just like, and not to sound like a boomer, but they don't make movies like that anymore.
They truly don't. Also because a lot of it is just very inappropriate humor. Like Blazing Saddles is very colorful for the standards we have nowadays. So,
maybe. And by that you mean it's an entirely white cast.
Well, there is one African-American individual who's
I'm sure there's a token black guy in it. Yeah.
Yes. And they throw out lots of inappropriate words utilized to describe him. So it's
just, that's not the part I was talking about that I missed. I wasn't talking about things that did not
age
well.
The 60s again. Let's make it great.
I'm talking about the reason that we love Futurama, which is like really good wordplay, like simple stuff that takes like a second to like sink in and then you get it. And it's just like gold.
Yes, 1,000%. And it's
– I feel like – yeah, Mel Brooks has that a lot in his movies.
It's clever, clean, Christian comedy, the four C's.
Well, it's not Christian or clean, but it is
right.
clever.
Right. I agree. Any biblical-based film is better than any non-biblical-based film. I do agree with what you're saying.
Oh, 100%.
Ever heard of
Apocalypto?
Ever heard of the –
Wait, that wasn't based on the Bible.
No, that was just Mel
Gibson. That was based on someone's misunderstanding of what Mesoamerican culture was like.
Wait, what's that fucking – Passion of the Christ. Ever heard of
– Passion of the Christ.
What is that fucking one that's fucking
– Passion de Cristo.
I'm trying not to use the Lord's name in vain to describe
Jesus Christ
about
Superstar.
It. No, it's about the Egypt people who go through the thing and it's like
– Not Moses. Yeah. It's a famous one, and it had a famous guy in it, right? It's from like the 40s or something.
Oh, my God. No. That's Charlton Heston in Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, what's that movie?
Lawrence of Arabia. No, it's the animated movie from the 90s.
Isn't it funny how if Lawrence of Arabia lived now, he would be called Larry of Arabia?
Isn't it funny that Larry David's real name is Lawrence David?
That's weird.
Yeah. I guess it could be also. No.
Lawrence Davidopoulos.
He's actually Greek. He's actually a Coptic Christian.
He's Greek.
Davidopoulos. Oh my God. Well, should we get into the Screpisode?
Let's get into the Screpisode. So, this is, like I said, this is season 5, episode 12, Spanish Fry. Now, this is a pretty good episode. We've had a kind of – oh, Daniel's trying to load the episode, and he said, oh, brother, and he mouthed it to me.
There we go.
So this is a pretty good episode. This was not tickling my funny bone as much as other times, but totally solid episode. I'm not trying to knock it or anything. especially though, given this season, there's been a lot of ups and downs. And so my brain is like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Yes, this is very true.
Just in terms of like how good some of the episodes are.
Yes, you're exactly right. This is absolutely a solid episode without question. It doesn't have a whole lot of.
And no one's questioning that.
And no one's questioning that. And what the question is that is this a good episode? And no one's asking that. But it doesn't have a whole lot of like crazy solid things like. That we go crazy for, like really good quotes, or
we do go crazy sometimes. Like nachos, I go crazy for nachos.
Crazy for nachos, bagel bites, Sunny D.
Oh,
Capri Sun,
Capri Sun. Same wavelength.
A good American grilled cheese on white bread.
Parmesan Cheez-Its.
Oh,
I can eat those
forever. You do go nutty for Parmesan Cheez-Its. Absolutely. But we're not going Parmesan Cheez-It level. I'll give it normal Cheez-It. They're good. It's good.
Normal Cheez-It.
Right.
Totally solid. I'll grab it by the handful, shove it in my mouth.
Yeah. Without question. Yes, exactly.
But does it have that zesty dust?
that I so crave.
The zust.
In the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. And then you pull the IV bag over for
just I wake up in a cold sweat.
I wake up in a cold sweat
thinking about that zesty dust.
Intravenous injection of dust. Zust.
I need more dust.
Let's just say that those Parmesan Cheez-Its could be my sustenance.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is the type of witty wordplay that would have gotten right. Daniel and I hired during the 2008 writer's strike.
Exactly.
When we were fully ready to be scabs.
Without question. I'm trying to make must and zust work.
Be careful on those ohos, my guy. You're playing your eye like a violin. Daniel is like vigorously rubbing his eye in a very sort of back and forth pattern as if he was holding a violin bow.
My dad always told me that. He's like, stop rubbing so hard. You're going to break your eyes, which is probably accurate. But holy fuck, also, were they itchy.
Wait, I'm sorry. I just imagined when you do that, it plays like a down home, like square dance style fiddle song.
Can I get some Vivaldi or something? Can I get something a little classier?
Oh my God. Like,
Fit out, man, Scott, not Joe. I've been married.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to think about that every time I rub my eye now, you son of a bitch.
My girlfriend goes crazy on her eyes. She's like, stabs herself in the eye, and then she's like, it's like, it makes
sick.
Noise because of how vigorously she's rubbing that. It.
Ew, the like macaroni and cheese sound. Like,
yes. The WAP sound.
Okay. This conversation went from bad to worse immediately.
Okay.
Goddamn episode.
Get me back on track, PD.
So this episode basically is all about Fry's Wee-Wiss, which we love a good wiener motif.
Well, technically, it's about his upper Wee-Wiss, his nose.
Yes, correct. Medically known as your upper
Wee-Wiss. Well, actually, in a larger way, it's about Lur's Wee-Wiss.
That is true. Not to get too metaphysical about it. However.
Metaphysically, it is about his Wee-Wiss.
Metaphysically, it is about his Wee-Wiss. So skip it a bit. I literally can't even start the episode. I cannot begin to regale the listeners with the episode.
Okay, let's just jump into the middle.
They are searching for Bigfoot.
Right? They are searching for Bigfoot. Let's just go with that. And so they're camping. They're out camping. We are skipping some shenanigans, so I apologize, including Ranger Park, the park ranger.
Ranger, I did love that. Ranger Park, the park ranger, who is like a Bigfoot, not expert, but what would you call that? Like,
fanatic.
Yes, fanatic. Yeah, exactly. I also love how Fry describes Bigfoot to the team, and he's like, he's just a big ugly misunderstood monster. And Zoidberg's like, I can so relate to that.
I can say. And then Leela goes in on him. And then he hugs. I did write that down. The way he like just turns around and hugs Leela and starts sobbing because he made himself sad. And then Leela like is like, get off of me.
Yeah. She's like, get off me, you big sea bug. So the folks are out camping. One other quote I really enjoyed was, Zoidberg is gay now, oddly enough, where Fry is like, or he's like, hey, Fry.
Zoid definitely gives me bi vibes.
For sure, right? He's pan. He doesn't look at the person or the genitalia. He looks at
are they inside. A source of food?
And what's inside, and can I, yeah, do they have money? Can they buy me food? But he's like, do you want to join me and Hermes for some just friends spooning?
In their tent.
Those are two characters who have hated each other all like throughout the series.
I don't know how much we've really established that yet, though.
We've established a good amount of it.
But like have they said episodes. It like on Porpoise? Or is it just him making fun of him? Have we gotten to the episodes where Hermes is like famously hates
Zoidberg? He said a couple things like, I don't even like you. And like, he calls him like a mangy sea bug all the time and stuff like that. But yes, it also makes you think of like one of their very few interactions in the episode Under the Sea when Bender's cigar burns down his house and he's like, that just raises Zoidberg's house. More questions.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, they're searching for Bigfoot, and in the middle of the night, Fry gets abducted by aliens. And I love how Amy is like, were they little gray ones with like the with like big heads? And everyone kind of like Fry sort of dismisses it when she asks, but then it turns out that the ones who abducted him really were little gray aliens with big round heads, which is not a type of alien we've seen yet in Futurama, which of course there are many types
of aliens. It's like the most stereotypical idea of what we think aliens are.
Of an alien. But then that happens to be the type of alien that is poaching humans, specifically for their nose, their human horn. So Fry comes back to camp with no nose, and everyone is like, he's like, is there something on my face? And then Hermes is like, that's the problem. There isn't.
Yeah. Yes. And there's so many good puns. Like Fry's like, like he knows what it is. And like you point to your nose during charades. And Amy's like, I'm sorry. I don't understand the gesture because he doesn't have a nose.
Fry, like having a still being able to speak, but then not saying anything is classic Fry because he's stupid.
Right, exactly. So the
I fizzled out on that one.
I came in for rescue. We could have brushed over it.
Thank you.
We'll pop it out in post.
I felt it in my bones deeper that time.
And me, God rest his zombie bones. So they kind of figure out that human horn is used for or as an alien aphrodisiac. And I love one of the lines that Fry says. He's like, hurry, let's get there or let's get to the bazaar before some alien snarfs it and does the worm.
Yeah, talking about like alien sex. And I love on the news when they're learning about human horn. What's his face? The news anchor. What's his name?
Morbo.
I wanted to say Lur too. Morbo. He's like, the human horn is like an illegal substance and like it's being made famous by like salacious films that are too raunchy for Earth TV. Let's watch. And then they show a clip of it on TV.
And it's like an 80s porno with like the like super buff guy and the woman who's like human horn.
And like a saxophone music.
Yes. That like with that like misty filter.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like that fog glow or whatever.
Right. Exactly. But they end up.
So they start trying to track down. Yeah. They start trying to track down Fry's nose. And so they go to this bazaar and they go into a market where there's like, I guess he's like a chameleon, but they ask him if he has like human horn and he's like, are you a cop? And they're like, and Leela's like, no, we're not cops. In fact, he's a crook and points to Bender and he's like, stolen Pez, anyone? And then everyone reaches their hand out and he gives them one Pez, including the shop owner.
Yeah. I did think that was funny. I love that shop owner. I don't know why he's such a good character, but I feel like he comes up maybe in one episode later.
Twice,
like in the more recent season. But they're like, no, hey, none of these human horns match us. Did you see this one? And he's like, I did, but I can't tell you who it was because it's a sensitive business. And Leela threatened to beat him up. And so he's like, okay.
No, Leela just punches him. Just goes over and like punches him in the gut. And he's like, right this way. And he's like immediately persuaded.
That's right. And then he just shudders. And when she leaves, he's like, and he's like, I film and record everyone who enters here. And they're like, that's awful. That's disgusting. And everyone's so abhorred. And he's like, hey, I'm a porno dealing monster. What do you think? I give a shit what you think about me.
Yeah, exactly. I love that line.
So accurate. So it turns out that Lur is the one who purchased it, and he's trying to be incognito. He's wearing like a ball cap and sunglasses, and he's like, who'd you say you were again? He's like, no one. Ruler of the planet Omicron Percy I hate. Self-identifies.
He's like, are you a cop? He's like, I'm just a guy. Ruler. And he can't not say it.
Exactly. To be fair, if I was a ruler of a planet, I wouldn't be able to self-identify any other way other than as a good lover.
But you think he'd get one of his lackeys to get it for him, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe he's particular.
I guess he was that embarrassed.
Maybe he's either embarrassed or he's particular. It's got to be the right horn.
He's particular.
in particular. He's a particular guy. That's all you need to know.
He's particular.
So they end up going to Omicron Persei 8 and basically confronting Lur. And they basically, everything is all wrapped up with a bow. They're like, okay, we got our nose back. We're going to add it back or put it on Fry's face. Okay, goodbye. And then Bender's like, hey, just out of some robo curiosity, what were you going to do with his nose? And he's like, well, we were going to grind it up and eat it so we could like get horny. And he was like, well, why wouldn't you use his wiener?
His what does he call it? He calls it a wing dang doodle or something.
Yeah, his wing dang
doodle. And then Lur's like, well, we thought the nose was the wing dang doodle. He's like, no, that's down below. And he goes, you mean there's a tiny secondary horn? And Fry's like, who have you been talking to? Yeah, basically admitting that he has a tiny penis.
And it's where we begin all the like jokes and Bender's woo about.
Yeah, Bender is always screaming from off camera, like double entendres. And then he goes, woo.
And Fry's like, I'm usually one to toot my own lower horn. And Bender's like, it's used to it. Woo! And so
Leela, they are gonna cut off. Yeah, they're gonna cut off Fry's penis, and they have this terrifying device that looks like the most painful way to get your penis cut off. It's like three saws and a spiky thing.
Yeah, yeah. It looks really and difficult.
They keep on just like letting that thing run in front of Fry to like scare him. But basically, Leela convinces Ndunda and Lur that the three of them can provide them a romantic evening in the woods, and that will re-spark their relationship because it's not just like him needing like ED medication. It's like their relationship is just like needs help. So they agree to having a romantic like dinner in the woods that Fry and Leela are hosting. Meanwhile, basically, if they don't get to boning at the end of it, they're allowed to cut off Fry's lower horn.
Right. Exactly. So they go back to the woods, which is originally where Fry was searching for Bigfoot to kick this all off. And then Ndunda and Lur are just like basically the couple you don't want to have dinner with. They're like kind of ripping at each other throughout the whole thing.
At each other's throats.
Exactly. Lur's like, okay, we'll have bread. Don't have that whole grain goat food. And I was like, okay, stealing that one, Lur. The whole grain goat food.
Yeah, and bring plenty of melted butter.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, okay. No, you didn't lose me. I was just pausing, waiting for you to finish the joke.
Oh, I feel like there's a delay, so I accidentally interrupted you, and I was going to let you go.
No, there is a wee delay, and I interrupted you, so... By your leave, my lord.
Okay, well, so he's like, bring plenty of melted butter. And then Ndunda is like, why don't you go ahead and just inject fat straight into your veins? She's like so mad at him for, oh, straight into your ass. First of all, they're both weight shaming each other, which I don't like. It's very toxic.
Yes, agreed. And secondly, on that front, isn't bigger better on Omicron Persei 8? Like you're more of a fierce warrior if you're
that's
larger.
What I would have assumed, but then he was like, and you used to have a size 8 cape too.
Yeah, so you should be a size 3 cape. She's like, oh shit. But one other thing I love is that Bender, because they're putting this on themselves, Bender comes up and he's like, Would the lady and gentleman like some box wine for the edge of the table? Have a bottle for the table, a box for the
for
edge
the table,
of the table.
Right? Because that's how you pour it, is by putting it on the edge of something.
Yeah, I thought that was so see.
He's like, no, we'll just go with water. Exactly. He's like, no, we'll just go with water. Tap water. And then does like, oh, big spender.
Again, the people you do not want to have a meal with.
You do not want to be at dinner with them.
Which also reminded me when Ndunda was talking. It was so weird because Petunia's voice wasn't actually Petunia. She's like, I saw Pimmy.
I know.
And it wasn't her. But I was like, maybe Tress McNeil was sick.
It was like Petunia's sister.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wait. Ndunda's voice is Tress McNeil. So she recorded that part. I don't know why she wouldn't have recorded
Yeah, that's weird that they...
Petunia.
She did look slightly different than Petunia, but all the other characteristics about her, like, screamed Petunia. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, oh, her voice is different.
Yeah, me too. Maybe it was, like, supposed to be... Maybe there's something deep there we didn't realize. It's, like, Petunia's sister who lives in the woods. I don't know. Who's not
it has
a,
to
a
be deeper.
New York City prostitute.
We must there's no way that it's... There's no way that it's more shallow than what we think that it is.
Right, exactly.
There's just no way.
There's no way. Rewind to the worst for my source. So Fry is basically furiously trying to make this work, but he's in a cage. They think that he's actually going to have his wiener chopped off. So Bender pushes the cage. The cage rolls down a hill, catches on fire. Cage leaves. Roll me to gentle freedom.
It's a tree.
Crunches down a hill. It's a tree. Catches on fire. Fry ends up escaping. However, the Omicronians catch up to him. And Lur's like, ooh, this jerk chicken is really good. I think I'll have Fry's lower horn jerked. Bender goes, it's used to it. Or something like that. I think he's like,
woo!
Whatever.
Yeah, it's used to it.
And then
And so right at that moment, they're about to cut off Fry's peen. They hear Bigfoot comes out of the woods. Bigfoot comes out of the woods. And then immediately Lur and Ndunda are like, kind of enamored with him, like, oh, look at this little guy, look at his cute little feet. And then the park ranger comes up, he's like, oh my god, I'm finally seeing Bigfoot, and he's not like blurry, and I'm taking pictures of him. And then he pulls out a gun and he's like about to shoot him with a tranquilizer dart. And then Lur like stands in front and like protects Bigfoot, and this is like the type of man that Ndunda missed, the sensitive protector. That, you know, he was like, I'm not going to let you harm this creature, basically.
Right. And then he basically has a revelation that because he stopped Ranger Park the Park Ranger from harming a creature, he's no better than Ranger Park the Park Ranger because he wants to harm Fry, an innocent creature. So he decides not to take his wiener.
Well, he goes, am I any better? Well, yes, but not enough.
Yes,
not by enough.
So they let him go, and then they basically their passion is rekindled, and everyone needs to get away from a 500 meter radius.
500 meter safe distance.
Sex is going to be so violent.
Someone's orgasm is going to be explosive.
Are you there? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I'm here. Did you hear my orgasm joke?
No, I did not.
I said he needs a 500 meter radius. Safe radius. So one of their orgasms is going to be explosive.
Okay.
Okay, new rule.
So then basically everyone leaves and runs away. Fry gets to keep his wiener. And then Bigfoot basically closes out on Bigfoot. He's like giving them like a nod of...
An approval. A nod of approval while they're fucking.
Like, yeah. And he walks away, and then it ends the episode. So, how many lower horns would you give this epi, this Giuseppe?
I'm going to give this one a solid 3.5 out of 5.
Nice. Horns. Nice. I was going to say it's not quite a 4 for me. It's very close, so I'm going to go like 3.75.
Okay.
Solid ep.
But it's definitely like a classic episode.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely like, if I saw this on TV, I wouldn't change the channel. I'd be like, this is a good ep.
Exactly. Eggs crackly. That's
eggs
it.
Eggs crackly.
If I saw it on TV, I would not change the channel. Now, if we went into the honeybee episode, Daniel would definitely change the channel.
No, I would throw my TV out of the window. I fucking hate that episode.
You know that it's not your TV's fault that episode's on.
My TV chooses everything. It's hooked up to an Alexa. Don't start, bitch.
Well, so then Alexa chooses it. So throw your Alexa out the window.
Nope, it's part of the TV. It's part of the TV. You wouldn't get it. It's a science thing, kid.
It's a profit thing, kid.
You have no teeth. All right, I'll go first.
Well, shall we do some? Okay, perfect. I knew you wanted to.
Professor has one line in this episode. He is insulting Fry. What does he call him?
Okay, trick question, because he has more than one line. There's at least another line that's not him insulting Fry.
Is it about his buttocks?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the same like series of lines.
Okay, so there is more than one line. So I did pass that test.
Okay, you passed that test, but there's no points awarded. It's like two lines. It's two lines at the very beginning. You have to know what he called. He insults the question.
That was the setup of the great question. That was not the actual question. Okay, but you said one line, and that's not what one line is.
Okay, he has one interaction with another character.
There you go. He says, the great outdoors, or something about a hike. And he's like, it's really a pain. It really makes my butt sore. And then it zooms out, and you see he's got chicken robo legs that he's sitting on. Right. And then he says, I don't remember. I was doing all that just to stall for time.
Oh my God, I hate you. Fry is like, yeah, and there's a Bigfoot out here. We're looking for Bigfoot because Bigfoot's here. And he goes, Fry, you blathering ninny hammer. Bigfoot doesn't exist. Blathering ninny hammer is such a, I don't know, professor thing to
say. Okay, but I get half a point for seeing through your trick question.
I will give you half a point out of the kindness of my heart, but I expect that in return when the rubber hits
I gave you – remember, I was kind to you last time. Remember that?
Kind? I think I had to fight and claw my way to that kindness.
So?
Okay.
What did I just do?
I love it. What did I just do?
I said I pleaded and I said, please.
Please. All right, fine. Half a point will be awarded to Gryffindor.
Okay, question two.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I'm a Hufflepuff.
What is... Oh, I'm a Slytherin. I've been playing the Harry Potter game. It's so fun.
Oh, you're definitely a Slytherin.
Bitch. Oh, for fucking sure. Cunning.
I'm a Hufflepuff because I like to cook.
Gay. It's all the things Slytherin.
Mean. Like to cook. Gay.
Catty.
Hufflepuffs are the cooks.
I didn't know that. I like to cook.
Well, you're a Slytherin. It's too late.
I'll just make snake stew. Oh, you know what? I'll make eel stew. Eel pie.
Eel stew.
Eel stew.
Eel pie.
Eel pie.
A mince eel pie.
Ew, mince.
I just imagine like really big chunks of eel.
With like bone in it. Like slimy.
Yeah, but like the consistency of like badly, poorly cooked eggplant.
Ew. Oh.
You know where it's like slimy and then the skin is like still...
I can see that. I was imagining like really overcooked fish, like that texture. Where it's like
probably
hard.
More like that. But what I imagined was like two consistencies that I don't like together, which is like
eggplant
mushed, and then like hard skin that's like chewy.
Eggplant is a dichotomous fucking vegetable. It's either really really dank and you're like fuck that eggplant's really good, or it's fucking
yeah wow
mushed,
that's
disgusting.
Good. Or it's like yeah,
it's not
or
good.
As
I've
the
never
French
had
say
mediocre.
Aubergine.
I believe that's English to call it aubergines, but I think it's originally from
because
the
that's
French. It's the French word.
Yes, because it's yes.
Do you know why we call it? I'm just trying to be a dick. Do you know what we call
that's
it?
That's like being like that's like being like oh, the Italians call it a hamburger because Americans call it a hamburger.
Actually, in America, we prefer cheeseburger. But technically, that's up to the preference of the individual. Do you know why they call it an eggplant?
I don't.
This is trivia. This is trivia. This is one of my questions.
What? This is trivia? There wasn't even an eggplant in this episode.
I'm kidding. It's because when they're really small, like when they're first growing, they look like little eggs attached to the stem. And then when they grow bigger, that's when they change color and then they distend down. So
that's
like
when they
eggs,
become
so
a schlong.
Eggplants, which is like the most American thing ever. Like, why don't you call it a?
I know,
why don't you call
God.
It the, you know, whatever.
Except it, for plant, except for when
like
it's
egg.
Not like football.
Right. Like no nope,
football. Your feet touch the ball 1% of the time.
Right. It's all hands. Ew.
Otherwise, it should be called tackle ball.
Ooh, they should play it naked, actually, and then you could call it balls ball. I think I have something going here.
Now you're on to something.
now you're being a Slytherin.
Yeah, now you're talking like a Slytherin. Naked sports that are concussive.
That you pay others to do.
Very Slytherin.
Very.
Yeah, very Slytherin. That you pay poor people to do in front of you.
Right. Ranger Park, the park ranger, is attempting to get something off of his hands. What is he trying to sell? And what is the ad? What does he want the ad to say too? That's the question.
It's an an exocycle. And I'm so close. It's an exercycle.
What's the ad say? Is the question. What's he want the ad to say?
And the ad says. The ad says. High quality exercycle for sale, and then he wants high quality to be in bold.
I'm feeling Xerxes-esque because I am a generous god. I will give it to you. It's top quality. Like, I want to say top quality.
Damn! Exercycle,
and top quality should be in bold. You can't make it bold? Okay, never mind. Also,
I'll have to call you back.
Yeah, I'll call you back. That's the guy who played Michael Bolton in Office Space. One of my favorite voice actors, whose name I'm blanking of.
Yes, who we don't talk about enough.
He's really good. He's in a bunch of stuff. I can't remember.
He's in a lot of stuff.
What his name is. He's played by David Herman. God damn it, I fucking knew that. David Herman.
I just remember. I think an episode or two ago, you gave him a shout out too.
Yeah,
you've been noticing
exactly.
Him more.
We love our old DH. Okay, last one is, what is the license plate on the flying saucer that abducts Fry?
That's a sign, dude. Come on.
He reads it. He explicitly reads it. And he's like, why does your license plate say?
Oh, right. Why does your – oh, God. I can hear Fry's voice saying it.
Told you.
Why does your license plate say – it's something about probing.
I've been very kind thus far. I don't think I'm able to be any kinder.
Oh, my God. I'll just take the fucking zero. Jesus.
Okay. You were kind of close. It said probe one. You were not far off. Don't even mark yourself
and you're
a
like,
point there.
Daniel shrugged to me on camera, like, oh.
Like a dick. That was so mean. But you got one and
after
a half
all the
already,
times,
1.5 out of 3.
After all the times, I know, but after all the times that you're like, you have to give me a hint, and I give you like a lot of hints, unless it's going to give away the answer.
It's because yours are like so tangential.
I mean, I wasn't going to get probe one.
Okay, then we're even Stevens. I gave you half a point of the first one, and I gave you the second one. I think that was
– I'm a generous god. Okay. I just didn't like the – I didn't like how you were like, oh, and then you were like, probe one.
Being a dick and
when
then
I was really
on to
something. And yes, and then you were smarmy.
Okay. I had to have it.
Okay. In what other places – this is the first one. In what other places does Ranger Park see Bigfoot?
Petunia thinks she sees it at the monster truck place, but Ranger Park, she sees it. Doesn't he see it somewhere weird, like it is the bathroom of his apartment or something?
No.
Like it's something stupid like that.
It's like more like metaphorical.
In my dream? In a dream?
Close.
What the fuck?
You're on the right track. It's not
dream?
A dream, but it's like something. No, it's not like a dream specifically, but like you're on the right, like metaphorical trip.
Oh, on a trip. He was on a drug trip.
No.
Ranger Park, well, you wily son of a bitch. Where'd you see Bigfoot? Not in a dream, but not in reality. The only other place there is altered reality with drugs and stuff.
It's similar to when you look into someone's eyes. and you see something metaphorically. That's a really big hint.
In the eyes of his lover, in a reflection of a mirror.
Where are eyes? Where are eyes on
in the face of children? He sees it in the face.
Yes,
of...
Yes, but what kind of children? What kind of children?
White? I don't fucking know.
Oh my god! Wow, we've really been indoctrinated by America.
Well, I'm saying that white would be the most reflective. So,
what is Bigfoot? What is Bigfoot? What is a characteristic about him besides his big feet?
He's hairy.
No, physical appearance. Yes.
Oh god! Wait, now I fucking got it. Oh my god! Yes, I've seen Bigfoot. Well, more metaphorically, and on the face of hairy children.
Yes,
yes. Jesus Christ. Okay, now I saw. It's been a long day, mon frère.
Okay. Well, and I wanted to return the generosity. So I really walked you through that one, but
you did. Yes,
I really walked you through that one, but it's okay.
The face of hairy children.
The next one is, where do we see a famous Windows screensaver? You'll get this one.
Oh, it's the abduction tube for the Probe One flying saucer.
Yes.
I almost wrote that one down until I saw the Probe One and I scratched it and wrote Probe One.
Well, you mean until Fry said it, because it would have been illegal.
Correct. Until it was audible. I watched this episode with my eyes closed. Thank you. So just made sure I didn't get any signs.
How does Ndunda describe Leela when they're trying to convince them, when she's trying to Leela's trying to convince them to like do the date?
How does Leela convince Ndunda?
No, how does Ndunda describe Leela?
Oh shit. She says, is it when they're in Omicron Persei 8 or when they're on Earth?
When they're on Omicron Persei 8 still. Daniel,
the blank 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 is right. We should give Fry them a chance.
Yep. You're
and
there.
And then
that's
she
the
calls
line.
Her.
They call
the large. They call him the large purple-haired one.
No, she's – I'm going to give it to you.
Okay, yeah.
Not the point, the answer.
Oh. Well, I get 10
I don't
want
to confuse you because sometimes you get confused. She calls her painfully single human.
Oh, that's fucking right. Yes, painfully single human.
Painfully that single was, is such a fucking roast.
That's a fucking good one. That was a good question.
Okay, thank you. And then the last one is, which of Omicron Persei 8's moons does Lur threaten to bang Zoom? A la
the third moon of Omicron Persei 8.
Oh, I lost you.
I know. It's the third.
Yes, correct. Is Honeymooners the show? Bang, Zoom.
Right over the moon, Alice.
Domestic abuse. Yeah.
Correct. Yes, exactly. Oh, dear God. That was a good one. Oh, that's a good one. The third moon of Omicron Persei 8.
Good job, Petey. 3 out of 4.
I'll take it.
And I do want to give a shout out to something that that Lur says at the very end, where he, after he like protects Bigfoot, he's like, I must protect him from the ranger with that demented foot lust.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I just like that phrase, demented foot lust.
Demented foot lust, because the ranger wants to chop his feet off. Oh my gosh. Well, it's about that time,
well,
fourth
guys,
graders. Time to put up your pencils, wash out your brushes.
Thank you, art teacher Pavlechko.
Mrs. Pavlechko, fourth grade, class act.
She had the widest eyes.
She looked like an owl. She was very pretty.
Who?
No pun intended. Oh, Mrs. Pavlechko. Well, you can find us on Patreon. We're also on X, not on X. We're on Threads.
Threads. At the most chill bro.
Or patreon.com/worldtomorrowpod, your choice.
Yes, thank you, Petey.
You can find us anywhere that you're listening to podcasts, except for Stitcher, because it's extinct. God rest its zombie bones. And next week, we'll be doing season 5, episode 13, Bend Her. One that probably didn't
I hardly age know her.
Well.
No, it didn't.
Probably not. Well, they kind of fixed it with the other gender one.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not terrible, but it's not the best.
Yeah. And as always, listeners,
we'll love you forever.
Love you forever.
We'll love you for always.
For always.
As long as you're listening, our friend you'll be.
Now, take us out. Anyone?
Yeah, I was going to say, please say Whalers on the Moon, because I have my trigger finger on that one.
We're whalers on the moon. We carry a harpoon. Mother and the whale, so we tell tall tales and sing a whale.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheese it.